A reading from the book of the Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven columns. She has dressed her meat, mixed her wine. Yes, she has spread her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the heights out over the city. Let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness, that you may live here. Advance in the ways of understanding. The word of the Lord.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Taste and see the goodness of the me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. So we are continuing to hear again from the sixth chapter of John, which is Jesus' sermon on the bread of life and the Eucharist. Today's gospel has for us some very stark, very graphic words by our Lord, the kind that makes you stop and think. So we hear in this piece of the gospel, in this part of his chapter, Jesus no longer just refers to himself as the bread of life, but now Jesus is moving, as he has been, taking all the different forms of bread and using them. Now he is actually referring to his very flesh and blood as bread. The words that St. John writes, remember, St. John, he knows, we talked about that, but like Mark was around. So he knows exactly what Jesus is saying and doing. And the words that Jesus used that St. John is writing down are very graphic and very descriptive and very frank about eating flesh and drinking blood. In Jesus' time, he's a rabbi. They see him as a rabbi. The rabbis would have used form of speech, and they would have said, my body. And by saying my body, they're meaning everything about them, everything, their personality, their mind, their heart, their soul, everything. And we acknowledge that. However, Jesus has gotten a particular reaction from the people. They are angry and upset with him because he is referring now differently. He's not saying symbolically. He's actually referring to flesh and blood. And now they're upset. Remember, in their time, you couldn't touch human blood. If you touched the blood of another human, you were considered unclean until the sun set. And then and that doesn't even include their feelings about blood on animals. So you see what's happening. And so we know that we know Jesus is not referring symbolically to it. He's using words that they know to mean something very real. And this is why they're getting upset and angry with him. And it shocked them. And these were the very words coming out of our Lord's mouth. And he meant it in a very real way. My friends, as Christians here in this house, we're not so shocked at the receiving of the body and blood of Christ because it becomes almost routine. But I pray as your pastor that you will never treat the Eucharist as something that is just routine, but that you will always treat it as the great gift of God through his Son to us in the Eucharist. But I want to take a look at what sense does Jesus use those words flesh and blood. As I mentioned, it meant, in the rabbinical terms, to give him whole self, the whole self, complete self. But it does have some other meanings, too. First, Jesus gave himself completely in absolute obedience to his Father's will. Then he gave himself completely and wholly, I don't mean wholly as in sanctified, but wholly, the whole self, on the cross for us. But before he does that, he gives himself completely, flesh and blood, by his own words, at the Last Supper to his disciples, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John, the writer of the gospel, he knows what Jesus is using, the words, the particular words, and all of them have a Eucharistic meaning to St. John. And those meanings are never far from him. This is why he's writing it the way he does. In this entire discourse with the crowd, the subject of bread, meaning the Eucharist, is never far from St. John the Evangelist's mind. There is what scripture scholars call indirect reminders about the Eucharist, and it's found in the phrases bread of life, the living bread, my flesh for the life of the world, my flesh, my blood as bread for the life of the world. Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. Now we understand that as the Eucharist, and we accept the Lord's words with faith, because there is no other way to accept it. The Eucharist is a mystery of faith. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. It is also a mystery of divine love. Everything that Jesus does is out of love for you. So this is also a mystery of divine love. However, it is also a mystery of divine presence. Now, folks have been laughing at me because I know sometimes in my head I work things out and it's kind of odd. Jesus is very much alive, right? He's not a statue. He's not a stained glass window. He's very much alive. He's a real person. And yet, at the same time, we get to have his body and blood. And remember the word Jesus uses that St. John records is the gnawing. So for me, my head is like, kaboom! He's alive, and yet we can have his body and blood. This is what I mean, the divine presence. This becomes absolutely amazing to me, to think about this, to consider, and everything that St. John is putting forth, but what our Lord actually puts forth for us. So we have to accept it on faith. The Eucharist is Christ himself. Now, Jesus says, my body, my blood. Mother Church in the Catechism will say, body, blood, soul, and divinity, meaning the wholeness, and therefore the whole Christ, truly, really, and substantially contained, Catechism 1374. It is the flesh and blood of Christ, mysteriously and divinely as the spirit-filled flesh and body of the heavenly Son of Man. I'm taking that from Scripture. Let me remind you of the components of the Eucharist, the three ideas. There's much, much more, but we don't have that time today. The Eucharist as sacrifice, the Eucharist as communion, and the Eucharist as true presence. As sacrifice, the Eucharist, I'm going to be very careful with these words, reenacts and represents, not represents, represents the very sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his sacrificial death. The church will say in a very bloodless way. So it's not just a remembering of, as some people think we do, it is actually happening again. Again, a mystery. Christ's saving Passover is remembered in the Eucharist, and it is made present again and again and again. It's a mystery. In this way, then, we are able to offer to the Father, and you've heard me say this, the greatest prayer a priest and a bishop can give is the prayer of the Mass, the Eucharist, for this very reason, because we offer to the Father our greatest form of worship, the gift most pleasing to him, his Son, and the sacrifice his Son makes. In return, the graces of Christ's sacrifice are made available to us each and every time we worthily receive him in the Eucharist. As communion, it's spiritual food. The Eucharist unites us in a singular with Christ. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Christ is so clever about how he goes about doing this through the Eucharist. Jesus went on to say, just as the Father sent me and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. I want to go back to this statement. Just as the Father sent me and I have life because of the Father. What is Jesus referring to? Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. God has existed, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in all time, in all places, having not been created and having no end. So what is Jesus talking about? How does Jesus say, just as the Father, and that's where the cue is, just as the Father sent me and I have life? What is he talking about? The Father sent Jesus where? Here, but where particularly? Remember how he became incarnate by the power of the Holy Spirit? He had life in the body. Do you understand? Just as the Father sent me and I have life in the body. This becomes important. So also the one, remember the word, feeds. I know it's graphic, but that's on me will thou have life. The incarnation, and I brought this up 2 weeks ago to you, becomes important. Remember, I presented to you as, do you think the Eucharist is difficult? Think about God, the Son, coming into the human body, into the cells of Mary. You see how it's transformative? Here's what's happening. It helps us to understand what God the Father is doing through his Son in the Eucharist. I know, kaboom. Christ's saving Passover is remembered in the Eucharist. It is made present. In this way, we offer the greatest prayer possible. We offer the Son back to the Father, and he's most pleased. The Eucharist preserves, increases, and renews the life of grace within you and I that we received at baptism. The Eucharist also happens to be the most complete form of Christ's presence this side of heaven. This is what I've been trying to explain to you for 4 weeks. The Eucharist, whether as sacrifice, as heavenly food, or divine presence, is a marvel of God's goodness and his love for you. The Eucharist is Christ's union with us and our grafting to him. And what the scripture that immediately came to me was the vine and the branches. They are one. As a matter of fact, the idea is where do they become separated? So you see what Jesus is getting at? Our Lord instituted the Eucharist that we might be one with him. united to him as the head is united to the body. I mean it this way, like you see me, but I also mean it in the mystical sense of the church, the head and its body. Just as food is united to the one who eats it. Now, I've been using the example of an apple. I eat an apple. I know we don't think about it, but I eat an apple, and the apple becomes part of me. Now, I've been joking about donuts. When you eat the donut, it becomes part of you. So, do you really want to eat that donut? But you see how clever our Lord is. He uses food, knowing it becomes part of us. Our Heavenly Father, by his own power, puts the very essence of Christ into it. And Jesus says, when you do this, you have eternal life within you. It all makes sense. And yet at the same time, it seems absolutely, utterly impossible. Friends, Jesus himself offers the gift of the Eucharist. He desires us to participate and to partake of this great gift, this great sacrament. And yet many, and I'm referring to our own members, hold back. Many refuse to believe, and some others don't even bother. So we pray for deep and abiding understanding and devotion to this great gift of the Eucharist so that we will receive it fervently, that we will receive it frequently, and that we will receive it with great joy. And friends, I want to leave you with a quote from St. Cyril on this very thing. He says, "Do not doubt whether this is true, but rather receive the words of the Savior in faith, for he cannot lie." My friends, Jesus makes a comment at the end of this particular gospel about the manna. They ate that, but they died. So if the Jews saw in the manna the great gift of God through the hands of Moses for their journey in the desert, which they didn't know was going to be 40 years, how much more must the Christian then accept and believe in the great gift of the Eucharist given by God through his Son to us so that we will have sustenance for our journey through this time to get home to heaven? Amen? Hallelujah.